go back to the book of the back in the Old Testament. Very minor prophet, but he has a lot to say in the three chapters. Habakkuk chapter 1. Last week we passed out the little questionnaire and we looked at some of the questions, and then basically all we got to last week was verse 1, where it talked about the fact that Habakkuk the prophet was burdened. And we left off by talking about that he, because he was burdened, what did he do?
Cried out to the Lord.
Cried out to the Lord. Took it to God. Best thing I know to do when we're burdened. Now, pardon me. Last week we saw that Habakkuk was terribly burdened by all the evil we saw going on around him. And before we dig into verses 2, 3, and 4 and look at his complaint that he made to God, let me say this. He was burdened, and I said this last week, I'm saying it this week. He was burdened because of the wickedness that he saw among God's people. He was burdened because of Judah's wickedness. He wasn't burdened because of the wickedness of the lost people that were around. He was burdened because of the wickedness of God's people. And yes, I see wickedness among the lost in our world today, but it does bother me when I also, see that saved people are doing things they shouldn't be doing today. And, you know, friends, lost people, I don't know why we're shocked when they act like lost people. Do you? Because lost people are just doing what comes naturally, acting like lost people. But it's kind of sad when saved people act like lost people. And that is a problem. And I do see it. I see it more and more today, and it does bother me also. When I see people who are saved that are willfully committing sin, it bothers me like it bothered Habakkuk. When I see saved people who know better joining in with the world, it bothers me. There's an old saying, I've said it before, you've probably heard me say this, ship's in the water, everything's all right. You start getting water in the ship, you got a problem. Church is in the world, that's the way God ordained it. But when the world gets in the church, we got a problem. And what I mean by that is when worldly ideas and worldly thinking creep into the church, yeah, there's a big problem. And the church today is way too much like the world. I'm like Habakkuk. I'm burdened by things that I see. And I get Habakkuk. Because when I look at the church today, I experience a lot of emotions. And it's hard to describe the mix of emotions that you feel when you look at some of the things that are going on. When I look at the church today, and I'm not talking necessarily about this, I'm not talking about any of you specifically, but when I look at the church in America today, well, sometimes I'm disappointed. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm upset. Sometimes I'm hurt. And sometimes I feel all those things kind of glock all in together all at the same time. And it's hard to kind of describe how you feel when you get there. But I think this is where Habakkuk was. He had a mix of a lot of emotions as he was looking at the wickedness of God's people around him. And I don't think he wanted to see anything bad happen to these people. I think what he wanted was he wanted to see the Lord get him back on track. Now, sometimes the Lord's got to get harsh with us to get us back on track, hasn't he? And I don't ever wish anything harsh on anybody, but I'll say this. If God's got to get harsh with somebody, get them where he wants them, well, then I pray God gets harsh with them. There was an old boy one time up Foxport when I was a pastor there. And I was praying, Lord, help him. Because I saw he was doing things he shouldn't be doing. And I said, Lord, be gentle if you can. And then time progressed, and he still just was getting worse, not better. And my prayers kind of began to change, and I finally just started to pray, Lord, if you can't be gentle, do what you got to do. If you got to beat him down so low on the ground he ain't got no choice but to look up, well, then, Lord, do that. Well, you know, the Lord ended up beating him down so low he didn't have no choice but to look back up. And later on, I shared with him what I had been praying. You know what he said to me? He goes, also, this was all your fault. And I said, no, I said, it was your fault. fault. You're the one that done what you did.
He goes, well, yeah, I know that. He goes, no. He goes, I'm not mad. He goes, thank you. He goes, because if God hadn't done what he did, he said that my destructive behavior was going to lead to some bad things. So I'm glad God cleaned his clock. I really am, because it straightened out. And sometimes God does have to chastise us kind of harshly to get our attention. The fact was, he was burned, and he did what a burned person ought to do. He prayed and took it to the Lord. While he was probably worried that God might get harsh with him, he was more worried what was going to happen to them if they persisted in the wickedness they were committing. Now, he was burdened, verse 1 says, look at verse 2, 3, and 4. Here's his complaint to God. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forward. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Verse 2. Look what he says, Lord, how long shall I cry out, and I will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. We've all done this. But this is something, as God's children, we just shouldn't do. What's Habakkuk basically doing here in verse 2? He's kind of accusing God, isn't he? Yeah, he's questioning God. He's accusing God. He's blaming God. Lord, I've prayed about this. You know, and I hate to say this, I've done this too. And I bet if you're honest, you have also. But you know, I've had times where I just downright almost just got mad at God. And so, you know, Lord, your word says you have not because you ask not. Well, I've asked and asked and asked and asked, and you still ain't done nothing. You ever been frustrated when you pray? Because answers weren't coming the way you wanted them to come, and you just kind of thought God was ignoring you? I got news for you. That's not what's happened. Okay? And sometimes it's hard not to feel that way, but that's not what's happening. But right here, Habakkuk basically accuses God of a couple things. He accuses God of not paying attention to what's going on. Lord, don't you see all this? And then he accuses God of not listening to his prayers, and he basically is saying God's at fault because God's permitting all this to happen. Well, friends, let me just make you a promise. God always knows what's going on in his world, okay? Nothing is ever hid from him. Nothing is lost on him either. And just because God doesn't answer us when we're wanting to or answer in the way we're wanting to doesn't mean that he's not listening. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Like I said last week, God is patient. He is slow to wrath. His word declares this. And very often when it seems like God is letting people get away with things, what God is actually doing is giving them space to repent because he is a gracious, merciful God. But while God will suffer long the sins of men, God will not suffer our sins forever. Eventually, there will come a day of reckoning. And it was wrong for Habakkuk to accuse God of not listening or caring about what was going on, because God did know what was going on, and God did care about what was going on. God cared about the prophet, and God heard this complaint. Verse 3. He says, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. He begins by saying, Lord, why do you make me look at sin and iniquity? You know, when I was a boy, top fifth, sixth grade, I remember some of the old men, my grandfather being two of them. They talk about the good old days. And I used to think about the good old days they were talking about, and I would think, why would anybody ever want to go back to that? I'd hear my grandfather talk, years old talking about the day when they didn't have TV or indoor plumbing. And I had to, why would anybody want to do that? You know, I mean, I was 10. I liked my television. You know, I liked getting up on Saturday morning and watching cartoons. That's what we did on Saturday morning when we was children. And I hear these older people talk about the good old days. Well, you know what I have determined, Jeff Prager?
Now or the good old days?
I must be getting old because now I miss the good old days. Okay? Because I'm starting to talk that way. I miss the days when people in this nation actually knew the difference between right and wrong. Does anybody else remember that day? Because I do. I can remember back in the 1970s. Everything in Xenia, Ohio closed at noon on Wednesday. Anybody else remember that? Bob remembers that. The banks closed at noon. The stores closed at noon. And you know what? Wednesday night at church, there was no difference than there was Sunday morning. You went to church on Wednesday night just like you went on Sunday morning. That was the way it was. That was one reason everything closed up at noon. So people could get home and have a little time that afternoon and have dinner and get ready and go to church. It's what we did on Wednesday night. And I can remember when the vast majority of my neighbors went to church. You know how many of my neighbors up my road go to church? I live way out in the middle of nowhere. I know that, okay? Those of you who've been to my house, let me think. There are one, two, three, four, make five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 houses. Not including the Amish, there's 11 houses up my road. Me and one other neighbor go to church on Sunday morning. There's two of us out of 11 that go to church on Sunday morning. I can remember when I grew up, most of my classmates went to church. Now, they didn't all go to the church I went to, but they all went to church. And I can remember my friends coming to church with me on Wednesday night. I remember going to church with my friends on Wednesday night. I can even remember going to other churches on Sunday mornings with my friends and some of my friends coming with us, because what a lot of people did back then, they actually got up and went to church on Sunday morning. I remember a day when there were no cell phones, let alone smartphones. I remember when there was no internet. I can remember this day. This is amazing. I actually remember a day when children went outside and did this thing called playing. We have a relative. Their kid is sick all the time. I know why. Because he never goes outside. He never gets dirty. Do you know why? Because he sits in front of a screen all day long. And he's never around anybody else. So when he does have to go out in public, guess what? He catches everything that's around him. You know why? Because he doesn't go out and play. I'm going to tell you something. There's something to be said about going outside with your kid and getting dirty, okay? It actually, I think, helps build up your antibodies and helps keep you well, okay? And it's unhealthy not to do that. I'm sorry. But I remember when kids actually went outside and played. I can remember a time when prayer was still allowed in school. I can remember a day when children actually respected their teachers. When I went to school back in the 70s and 80s, we respected our teachers. And get this, we were afraid of our teachers. But you know what's happened today? They don't respect their teachers, and the teachers are now afraid of the students. It's where we're at. I can remember when our public schools actually had this thing called discipline. Yeah. When they'd actually take you out in the hallway and paddle your rear end, okay? And I'll just say right now, I got more than one growing up. Been there, done that. And I bet your daddy was like mine. I bet when you got home, and I bet your daddy gave you another one when he found out, didn't he? It was bad enough when Mr. Rose, my principal in elementary school, paddled me. He goes, man, it hurt. He was not giving me Then my rear end was already sore, and I get home, and my dad do it again. Guess what? When Mr. Rose spoke, I said, yes, sir. Okay, I didn't mouth off to him.
Now they're training the teachers and daycare providers that you don't tell a child no.
I know. Yeah, it's working out great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember a day when we didn't stare at screens all day and allow the world to influence us all day. I can remember a day when I didn't have the homosexual agenda shoved down my throat every minute of every day. I can't turn on TV. You can't even watch a commercial now. I'll tell you how bad it's got. You know, Fox News is pretty conservative. I wanted to watch something last night on Fox News. I turned it on and just real quick went to commercial. And the first commercial was for this medication. I think it's called Dovato. And it's medication for homosexuals. And I'm not even sure what the problem is. But they got all these men hugging each other and all, hanging all over each other. And I'm like, why do I need to see this? Like, this is Fox News, for crying out loud. I thought they were conservative. And yet, even they're advertising this garbage.
It's gotten in cartoons, too.
It's gotten into cartoons. It's gotten into everything.
They're conditioning our children.
They are absolutely conditioning our children. Which is one reason I thank God for people in our church like Lauren and Charlie and the Taylors who homeschool their children. And keep them from being exposed to that kind of influence.
Wow.
Yes?
I was pretty shocked today when I got a card in the mail from the Art Council. And we get one every year. They want us to support them. I never have. But for some reason, I'm on their list. And they were listing all the programs that they're going to be doing. And two of them was for, I forget how they said it, but it was for homosexuals.
Uh-huh.
Two of the programs at the Art Council. So that's what it's. What did they call it when they had that thing last year? You videotape some of it or something down here at the. Remember, Peggy?
I saw an ad for that. It's like a celebration of the. It's like a celebration of the transgenders.
Yeah, it's not just homosexual now. It's a celebration of transgender.
Yeah, but some something.
I know.
He
let me ask you something. You folks are old enough to remember. What do you think would have happened in 1970 if they tried to have a gay pride parade in Lexington? It wouldn't have happened, would it?
No.
And now it happens in every major city in the United States. And now it's just not homosexuals that they're applauding, it's transgender people. I remember a day when this modern, politically correct, woke culture we live in today wouldn't last in 5 seconds. And I remember a day, I hate to say this, when God's people were unafraid to stand up for the truth and call sin what it is, sin. And when I look at what's going on in our nation today, I'm just going to be honest with you, it makes my stomach turn. But when I see how many of God's people and how many churches have compromised with the world and compromised what they believe and gone along with the world. Well, friends, I get beyond just feeling a little sick in my stomach. I'll be honest with you, I get mad. Somebody asked me one Sunday, they said, Brother Todd, you sounded mad today. And I said, you know why? They said, why? Because I was. Well, you think that's a good idea for a preacher to be mad at the pulpit? Yes, sometimes I do. Do you think Jesus was happy when he kicked all the tables over and made that whip and cleansed the temple?
No.
I guarantee you, he was mad. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything, honey. There's a time to be happy and there's a time to be mad. And every once in a while, you know what? Old preacher gets mad. And I'll tell you, when I see what's going on in the church today, that's where I start to get mad. I don't like the trends I'm seeing in the church today. Most of all, I don't like the apathy that I see among the people of God. When we look around and see what's going on, I mean, it's just not like we've resolved ourselves. Oh, but they didn't have to go back, so I guess we just go on. That's the exact wrong thing to do, friends. Habakkuk didn't like what he was seeing either, and it bothered him. Because it was God's people that was doing this stuff. And in verse 3, Habakkuk says he is grieved by what is going on. Okay, he's grieved by it. Why does thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Lord, why are you grieving me like this? Why are you permitting this? Why don't you do something about this? He speaks specifically of spoiling and violence. What's spoiling here? Spoiling and violence.
It's like spoiling for a fight. It's you're doing something to cause it to.
Also, if you think about like the spoils that somebody would steal, I think that's what's also speaking to is theft and violence. Again, these are God's people. And there's violence among them. There's stealing among them. There's dishonesty among them. And I'm going to say something, I've been some, I don't care, but I'm going to say it anyway. One of the most vile forms of violence in America today is abortion. You can say amen to that. I'm going to say this again, I said this before. Hitler only murdered 6 million Jews. What did you just say, preacher? I said Hitler only murdered 6 million Jews. Those Jews could run. They could hide. They could try to defend themselves. Here in America, we have murdered over 50 million people, all of them infants, all of them in the womb, all of them that had no chance to run, no chance to hide, and that could not defend themselves. They were completely and totally helpless. Let me ask you something, friends. On the judgment day, who do you suppose God is going to consider to be the bigger monster? The Nazis or us? That's hard dose of reality to take, but truth is, it's going to be us.
The mom is in a debt, and the doctor is going to have to pay for it too.
You got that right, but let me add to that. I think so many people today who say they're God's people, we have no problem with it. We had a lady come to church here, it's been years ago. I said something about abortion, she got mad and left. And then when I went and visited her, you know what I found out she had an abortion. It had been years ago. But she didn't want me telling her what she did was wrong. Well, I hate to tell you, what she did was wrong. Now, God forgive her, and I told her that. And I told her, I'm not condemning you. I'm just stating a fact. It's murder. And God's people need to wake up to that fact that it's murder, okay? But yet there are so many that just, oh, well, they don't have a problem with it. Then even so many who say they're against it, you know what they do? They vote for politicians that they know are pro-choice. Well, Larry, I've got news for you. Yes, the mama that has the abortion is going to be guilty. The doctor that performs it is going to be guilty. The politicians who have made it legal are going to be guilty. But I have news for you. God's people who voted for those politicians are going to stand before God in judgment on this too. Hate to break it to you, but it makes us complicit. Now I had somebody tell me, well, you just vote for pro-life candidates. Yes, I do. Well, what if one of them lies to you? Well, that's on them. But if one tells me right up front, hey, I'm pro-choice, I'm all for abortion, I got news for you. I ain't voting for them.
Biden outright says he's for abortion.
Absolutely.
And for homosexuality.
Yes, I know. But I hate to tell you this. Talk about quandary. I've had elections I couldn't vote for either candidate. You know why? Because I didn't trust either one of them on the subject. I heard Donald Trump say that abortion should not be banned federally in the United States. Now, I know what he's getting at. It ought to be left up to the states. I'm sorry. I want a politician who says it's wrong, it's murder, and we won't have it. And if I can't find a politician who will say that, I won't vote for any of them. I'm not going to be complicit. Okay? okay? And I pray to God you won't need it. And I'm going to take some, have some else, and I'm going, well, I didn't know that politician I voted for was pro-choice. Well, guess what? That's on you. Because all you got to do is a little research, you can figure it out. Get on the Kentucky Family Foundation's website. They'll tell you exactly where every politician in every race, state, local, and national, where they all stand on the issue.
Check what Bashir stands for.
Yeah, boy, I know. Friends, God's people ought to be standing up and just raising Cain every day, calling this what it is. It's wrong. It's murder. Okay? And it's a sin. And it's a heinous sin. And we should not accept it. We should not go along. We should not resolve ourselves, oh, it's just the way it is. No, we ought to fight it tooth and nail as long as there's life in our bodies. And we ought to stand up and say what it is. It's wrong. It's sin. Habakkuk, he was burdened by all the spoiling and the violence. And he was also, he says, burdened by the strife and contention that he saw among the people of God. I said this last week. If you're one that causes division in the Lord's church, I feel sorry for you. Because I don't have any idea what you're going to say to God on judgment day when you stand before Him if you cause division in this church. Over the years, I've seen people get mad at these churches, and sometimes they were mad at the pastor, sometimes they were mad at another member, sometimes they were mad because something happened at a business meeting they didn't like. And often I've seen these people leave, and then they get spiteful. And they start trying to drag more people out of that church with them. As if they want to damage the church. I'm going to say it again. I mean, it's His church. And when you start doing things that are going to damage His church, I promise you someday you're going to answer to Him. And good luck to you on that day, because like I said, I don't for life of me know what you're going to say to them. The 30 years of ministry have taught me the reason strife and contention happens in the church today. Anybody know why it happens? The main reason there's strife and contention in God's house. Pride. Yes, sir?
Yeah.
Jealous. These are all working in the same vein of what I'm going to talk about. Self-will. That's the main reason, friends. Yeah, pride, jealousy, those things absolutely contribute. But the main reason there's pride, or the main reason there's contention and strife in the church is the will of self overrides the will of God. And one of the people at the last church I was at, we had one of the most contentious business meetings I ever saw. And I stopped the meeting and I said, who can tell me what God's will is for this situation? Boy, you heard him. I said, who here has been praying for God's will to be done in this situation? Nobody would even look me in the eye. You know why? Because they all knew the truth. They weren't concerned with what God wanted. They were concerned with what they wanted. And one group wanted this, and one group wanted this, and all of a sudden, man, there was a whole bunch of strife in the church. And I said, how about we just table it tonight? How about for the next month, you all go home and pray and ask the Lord what His will is, and next month we'll try to show up and do God's will instead of ours. Well, that just ended it right now. And people were going out the door, shaking hands, apologizing to each other. And the next business meeting was so friendly. And everything got resolved. But that's why we have pride in the church, because we become self-willed. And we don't care what the other church member wants or needs. And we don't even care what God wants. We just want what we want. Let me tell you, that is a surefire recipe for contention, for strife, for problems. That just when we get self-willed, there's going to be problems. Friends, there should never be strife or contention in God's church, ever. And this brings us to verse 4. He says, therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked thus compass about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Boy, I tell you, that doesn't it just sound like I'm talking about America? When I read that verse, Habakkuk says there is stealing and violence and strife and contention. And we see the result of all those things here in verse 4. And the prophet begins by saying the law is slack. What does that mean?
Not enforced.
not enforced, which means what? If it's not enforced, then it's not being followed. What was the law? God's word, wasn't it? Who gave them the law? God did. So therefore, the law was God's word. And it wasn't being enforced, and it wasn't being followed. I understand Habakkuk's burden here about God's word not being followed, because there are so many cases today where the church is compromised with the world and is no longer following the word of God. I know I'm like a broken record, just have to deal with me, I guess. Prime example I give you would be same-sex marriage. Friends, let me just tell you, I'll be blunt about it. Any church that would permit a same-sex marriage ceremony to take place within the walls of their church house is firmly outside of the will of God. Any church that would have a pastor that would officiate a same-sex marriage is just so far from the will of God, it's pathetic. Okay? What we're saying is, when we allow those things in the church, we don't care what God's word says. This is what we've decided we're going to do. Let me tell you about the church I grew up in. They decided they were going to get progressive because the church was getting old, and the church, you know, didn't have no young people in it. And so the church, and it wasn't a Baptist church, but the church decided they were going to hire this woman who was openly lesbian and married to another woman to be their pastor. Because they were convinced that by hiring her and becoming more progressive and more like the world, they could attract the world to come in. I got news for you. What good does it do us to attract people in here if we're not going to tell them the truth once they're here? What's the point? And I'm proud they had a vote. There's 111 people voted for that lady pastor. 110 of them voted yes, one of them voted no, and praise God, the one that voted no was my old man. And he left the Presbyterian church over. Today he's a Baptist. I finally got my dad squared away. Okay. Friends, that's not even close to being a world. Oh, by the way, that church is closed today. Boy, God sure blessed that, didn't he? So many churches today that are doing things like this. There are churches today that pastors avoid touchy subjects. You know why? Because you don't offend anybody. And as such, they've left the Word of God. I hate to tell you this, but friends, you know what? The Word of God is brutally honest. Have you ever read it? Have you seen that? It is brutally honest about who we are. And you know what? The book offends human beings. It is an offensive book. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. But we ought to be more worried about telling the world the truth, more so than being worried about offending them. Because if we're worried about offending them, we'll never tell them the truth. And if we don't tell them the truth, how in the world are they going to be saved? And if people don't start coming to Christ in this nation, how's this nation ever going to turn around? Ain't going to happen. But we're worried about offending them because we want to keep them coming back. And in so many cases today, in so many churches, the Word of God is slack, just like the law was in Habakkuk's day, because people really aren't interested in actually following what it says. I'm going to tell you something that drives me nuts, just so you know. When a church member, and I've had plenty, and I've had them here too, come to me with a problem, and say, I don't know what to do, and I'll flip my Bible open, and I'll say, well, the Scripture says this, and they look and go, oh, good luck, so bad. You know what you might as well just say to me? I don't read my Bible, preacher. I'm just amazed sometimes at the basic fundamental things that some people don't know. Well, I'll be in our Bible every day, friends. And we ought to believe every word of it just like God said it. And we ought to do just exactly what God says to do, even if it causes us to fall out of favor with the world. We ought to just do whatever God says. Otherwise, the Word of God becomes slack. I've seen people that come and play church every once in a while, and then they leave and they live very carnal, sinful lives. I'm like Habakkuk. That bugs me. It burdens words me, it bothers me, I worry for these people. And I've seen these same people that do this, these people that live very carnal lives, I see them prosper. And then all the while I see good people that are really trying to serve God to the best of their ability, they struggle. And you know what, I'm going to be honest, in my human brain, that don't seem right. Does that seem right to you? Kind of seems unjust to me. And then I look at all the corruption among our political leaders, and those people just seem to prosper. Hey, you know, they pass this. I'm just going to kill you all out and stuff. This boy kind of come up with an idea, okay? When political leaders in D.C., the senators and the congresspeople, when they buy stocks, they have to report it now. That's a law. They can still buy it, but they have to instantly report what they're buying. This kid figured out the website where all these reports were made, and he started looking at everything Nancy Pelosi was buying, and he started buying the exact same stocks, and last year he made almost 30% on his money. Nancy don't have no inside information, does she? I mean, no corruption there, is there? That kid pretty smart, in my opinion. But again, I look at people like that prospering, and then I look at good, hard-working people who struggle to make ends meet. I look at people who struggle to just go buy a dozen eggs at the grocery store, and it bothers me.
Yeah, but remember
Lazarus. Huh?
Remember
Lazarus, though. What about him? Well, that's true. That's true, he did. He was poor, and he ended up having a... That's again what Elijah was talking about there for a second. But yeah, you're right. But you know, sometimes I don't like a bad one. I wonder why God's permitting certain things to happen in this world. And then after saying that, the laws not being followed, and the wicked seem to be getting away with everything. And back says this, he says, the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Let me ask you something. Do you ever feel like we, and by we I mean the born again believers, do you ever feel like we're becoming outnumbered in this country? Yeah. Absolutely we are. 25 years ago to me, at least it seemed like around these parts, there were just as many God-fearing people as there were non-God-fearing people. Nowadays, it's getting to be hard to find any God-fearing people outside of church. We're now a minority in America, I hate to tell you this. And it bothers me the degree of wickedness that I see in this day. And I understand how back it felt. And then because of all these things, Habakkuk complains to God that because of these things, wrong judgments proceeded. Isn't that what he says? He says in the last part of verse 4, the wicked compass about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Oh, don't even get me started. Did you ever watch the news and wonder how in the world we got where we're at today in America? I mean, isn't it amazing? I mean, just like Peggy said, there are so many places today where the schools are teaching our children, grandchildren, things like gender reassignment and same-sex lifestyles, and in some places at ages 5 and 6 years old. And then, you know, you get a guy like Ron DeSantis in Florida who's trying to fight this and make it illegal. Now, I remember a day when if a teacher brought in sexually explicit material into a classroom of six-year-olds, they would put them in jail. Yeah. And should have. And now, they're promoting it. And then if you get somebody like DeSantis that stands up and tries to say, no, we're not teaching five-year-olds these things. Five-year-olds don't need to learn those things. Five-year-olds need to be five-year-olds. They don't need to worry about gender reassignment. And if somebody does stand up and try to fight this, they're all kind of phobias, aren't they? They're homophobic, transphobic, they're this phobic, they're that phobic. Oh yeah, call them names.
Demons are not named
God's
either.
No. Now, in our public schools and even around here, we let boys go into the girls' bathrooms, girls go into the boys' bathrooms, just depending on how they're feeling that day. Now we worry about what pronoun we're going to call a kid by. That's important. They don't even have to identify as male or female anymore. Kid wants to identify as a fish, he can do it. Or a cat. And I'm so proud of our school system getting that kid a litter box. Why? Because the parents threatened to sue. You know what I told our superintendent? I said, it's simple. She wants to be a cat, let her. Put a sign on the high school door that says, no pets allowed, tell her to go home. That's how you handle it.
We're going to get a good call. Warriors get involved.
Stand up, man! Get a spine! That's what I said to you. You know, do what's right. You know what's right. This is ridiculous. That we have a child in our high school that identifies as a cat, and you're letting her have a litter box. We've lost our minds. Let me tell you something. If this nonsense is going on in Fleming and Montgomery County, what do you think is going on in places like New York City? Or Chicago, or Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington. It's insanity. San Francisco. Oh my Lord. Our woke society is not trying to make a sentence itself between being a man or a woman. Let me ask you, do you remember not too long, probably 20 years ago, what the debate was in America? The Ten Commandments. We're going to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. And it sure has. Today, men are marrying men, women are marrying men, women. We've killed millions upon millions of babies. We call it a choice. And now the woke left wants to make it illegal to even own a gas-powered vehicle. Oh, now, did you hear this? They don't even want you to be able to own a gas oven range. Yeah, that's something Biden's proposing. That you can't have a gas oven range in your house because it's bad for the environment. What's next? Here's what I want to know, and I'm being sincere when I say this. How did the dumbest people in America get in charge? How did this happen?
Money.
I can tell you this, we voted for them. That's how they got there, we voted for them.
I know we all did.
You might be surprised how dumb some of the ones you voted for are, some of the ones I voted for are that be pretty dumb. Sad, but it's true. And why do these God's people permit these things to go on? Why won't the people of God get a spine, stand up, tell the truth? Friends, how in the world did we get to this place in America, and even in the church, where evil is now called good and good is now called bad? How'd we get here? Friends, I know why Habakkuk was burdened. Because if you look at what was going on in Judah in his day, and then you look at what's going on today, all I can say is not much has changed. And why we aren't more burdened, like Habakkuk was, is beyond me. Why the altar's not full every Sunday morning is beyond me. Why we're not spending hours a week on our knees, praying, thanking God like a Habakkuk did, to come and do something in our nation is beyond me. Like I said, friends, we can do one of two things. We can get burdened and cry out to God. Or we can just say, oh well, and go along. I think maybe it's time for people of God in this country get burdened and start crying out to God. That might be real helpful. And again, I'm going to say this because I started this out last week this way, and then I'm going to conclude it right. Every time something bad happens, you know what I hear? Oh, Jesus coming back in a minute. I'll say it again. Maybe he is. But maybe, just maybe, that's not what all this is about today. Maybe, just maybe, God's just getting ready to clean our block like he did Judas. You ever think about that? And I'll say it again. He had a covenant with these people. He does not with us. And if he do it to them, I shudder to think what he might do to us. Friends, I'll tell you what. Whatever God will do to America, if he does it tonight, we deserve it.
Amen.
We've earned it, and we are guilty, and we have no excuse. The best thing I think we can do is what Habakkuk did, and that is cry out. Now, I'm going to just tell you before we get into next week's lesson, we're going to look at God's response. And I'm just going to tell you right up front, Habakkuk did not like it. And I'm going to tell you what, we may not like what God's going to do either. But I'll promise you this, God was right what he did in Habakkuk's day. He'll be right whatever he does in ours. And so we're going to learn some lessons from Habakkuk. So at least, praise God, he was on the right track, wasn't he? He was burdened, and he took that burden to God. That is what the church needs to do today. We need to be burdened for our world, for our nation, for the church. And we need to cry out to God.